And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. And of course, Joe Barner in with us this morning.
Well, good morning.
And also via the way of telephone is the legend, Ken Cummins.
Well, good morning, and the legend in his own mind, and like a legend on the map, trying to figure it all out. How about that?
Well, hey, that works. As long as you got it worked out.
Well, I don't know if I have it worked out or not, but there's an old song that says, we can work it out, and we, as Christians, we get together, we can work it out. I am not Brother David Tucker, and I,
no.
As you've already said, I'm Ken Cummins. Brother David texted earlier this morning, said he is not feeling well and just wasn't sure what was going on, so he is in at home and is going to find out what the sickness is, but I think he knows he's sick, so what it is, stomach problems, that kind of thing like that. But anyway, so we kind of played the shuffleboard, and we shuffled my way this morning, so here we are. Hey, now, by the way, just got to know, did you two guys go to church yesterday?
Absolutely.
I did.
Well, let's, okay, you go first there, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first. Did you learn anything? What's your takeaway, and did you get it straightened out?
I believe so. I know that Jesus is alive and well, and I was mentioning earlier this morning, as we had our discipleship training last night, and just going over the death of Jesus Christ in our discipleship training. You know, if you really think about all that what Jesus went through to die for us, what an amazing God we serve. That we serve a God that took the beating and took the punishment and everything that he went through just so we could have life after we leave this place. It's pretty amazing to know.
Mm. Well, absolutely. I praise the Lord for that. How about you, Joe? Any takeaways or anything that hit you yesterday?
We had the Lord's Supper service, and at Second Baptist we use a whole service for the Lord's Supper, singing
Amen.
Songs about that.
Amen.
And remembering what Christ did for us, the price he paid for our sins, and celebrating that until he comes.
Amen.
That's
you
what he
celebrate
said. He
it
said
with
occupy.
Him.
He said, occupy till I come. I need to straighten that out. That doesn't mean you sit around and take up space.
No.
That means until he comes, you keep on serving him.
That's right.
And evidently, we as human beings have a short memory. We're supposed to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I look to the cross, I don't see how in the world you'd ever forget it. But that Lord's Supper certainly calls to remembrance all of that. Well
we kind of do it on a... I was going to say, we kind of do it on a quarterly basis. I've been in churches where they do it every week. Jesus didn't say the frequency, but he said, do this until I come.
That's right.
He says, as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of me. And that's great. And we need to bring those things to mind. Well, let me ask you this before we go to music here on the front porch. Are you expecting a snow shower today there, Brian Marshall Sidebottom?
Yeah, actually.
About 3 inches.
About three inches worth of it. That's what I was kind of thinking.
No,
you know, I don't do much thinking, but last evening when I was feeding my dog farm, I have beagles for the benefit of our listening family, and I was out there cleaning and I don't ask you to feel sorry for me, but it was hot.
I bet.
And anyway, I thought, you know, I kind of enjoy this more in the fall and in the winter than I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
yes.
me, though. Some people would differ on that. That's
for
sure. Joe, you were going to say something right before we go to music here.
I don't remember what it was, so it probably wasn't worth dragging back up.
All right. Well, we won't drag it back up. And you just joined us here on the front porch. I'm Ken Cummins via telephone, along with Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first and Brother Joe Barner. And please remember in prayer, Brother Dave Tucker, who is sick today. And we will, let's just pray for him right now, pray for the day, and we'll get right to it. Heavenly Father, we come boldly to your presence in the wonderful name of Jesus, praising you because you are wonderful. But Lord, we ask now that you touch Brother Dave's body. Lord, that you're able to heal to the uttermost, and we trust in you. And I pray, Lord, whatever the bug that's got hold of him, that it'll let go. Now, Father, I pray for those on the road today traveling I-24, I-69. Perhaps they have tests today, physical tests, and there's a lot of anxiety over that. They may have even lost loved ones, and they're waking up to a day without them, and their heart's just torn apart. And there are those in recent days and even weeks have lost loved ones. It's just tough. Lord, comfort them as only you can. We thank you for our soldiers of the 101st, and Lord, that fight for our freedom. And I pray, Lord, they'll have a wonderful day. Protect them and use them. And may those that do not know you come to know you as Lord and Savior before this day is over. Now, Lord, use us. Grant us of inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we pray this in the most marvelous, victorious, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in John 12:26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Which of the following disturbs you most? A soul lost in hell, or a scratch on your new car? You're missing the worship service, or missing a day's work? A sermon 10 minutes long, or lunch a half hour late? The church is not growing, or the garden not growing? Your Bible being unopened, or your newspaper not read, your children late for school, or late for Sunday school, the offerings decreasing, or your income decreasing, your church work being neglected, or your housework being neglected. Again, I ask, which disturbs you most? I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Good morning once again. Welcome to the front porch. Joe Barner along with Ken Cummins, the legend across the way. I guess Princeton area, right?
Well, I've been way across the way. I'm actually broadcasting from my office out in Caldwell County. I have a little appointment that I have to take care of before coming to the station and kind of rearranged and shuffled my schedule a little bit because to jump in here with you guys because Brother Dave couldn't be here because he's sick. So now you know more than I do. So that's take long.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, it's a great morning, 7-Eleven, and that's not a store. Dr. Charles Stanley says, God is looking for imperfect men and women who have learned to walk in moment-by-moment dependence on the Holy Spirit. Christians who have come to terms with their inadequacies, fears, and failures. Believers who have become discontent with surviving and have taken the time to investigate everything God has to offer in this life. Now, break that down just a bit. It doesn't say that God is looking for perfect men and women. If he is, well, if you think about the lot that he chose from the original disciples, and then look at me, and I guess you two would say the same thing to look
yes,
at
sir.
You.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah, but we've learned to walk, and that's the way it should be, in moment by moment, depending on the Holy Spirit. Now, it didn't take me long until I entered into ministry at a very young age, and I'm still learning, by the way. I haven't graduated yet. I guess I'll graduate when I get that diploma for out of this world.
That's right.
But Christians have to come to determine, or to terms, I should say, with our dependence and our upon God and our inadequacies. And by the end, by the way, you will fail. And failure isn't fatal unless you allow it to be, because he'll pick you up. But believers who become discontent with surviving and taking time to investigate everything God has to offer in this life. Well, that's exactly along the line what I want to share with you in brief this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16, I texted that to you, my good friends. I don't know if one of you have your Bibles open at night.
Joe's got it.
That.
Joe's got it.
Well, Joe's got, I hope it's not catching.
No.
Therefore, gird. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
There's a song that you may know. If you've been around for a while, you probably have heard it. If you used to sing from the Baptist or any hymn book, for that matter, I should put it in that verbiage. It says, it's called this. Let me just say the verses. I promise I will not sing it to you, because we're trying to build an audience here at Missionary Radio. Okay. It says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Of course, the hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, written by William Dunn Longstaff. Now, he's from the United Kingdom, and he lived back the time that Brian lived, about was born, 1822.
Oh, yeah.
1894, yeah, at least. But born in Sunderland, Durham, England, he was the son of a wealthy ship owner, and he was a person of independent financial means. That has a reason I'm sharing this. Although Longstaff had everything he desired, he still had an empty feeling in his life and attended church one day. It was inspired by the words of a China missionary, Griffith John, on furlough to England, preaching at a service in Keswick, England, citing 1 Peter 1:16, Be ye holy, for I am holy. That resulted in him giving his heart to the Lord and beginning a Christian life dedicated to God. He became a generous philanthropist and was influential in evangelical circles. Now, he followed his friend, this may not mean nothing, but it connects here, Reverend Arthur A. Rees, a persuasive Welsh preacher who left the Anglican priesthood after disagreements with his rector and bishop. Dunn served as church treasurer for Rees' Bethesda Free Chapel in Sunderland. And anyway, he, Longstaff, used his means, befriended well-known evangelists, including William Booth of Salvation Army, and he generously contributed to work. And some of Longstaff's hymns were published in evangelical circles and crusades in England and Scotland. When Moody's funding dried up, he funded Moody, by the way, and his preaching tours that resulted in 20,000 people coming to the Lord. Later on, Longstaff did not forget that sermon he heard, and he prompted in writing these lyrics that I've just read. He later showed them to Ira Sankey during their crusade. Sankey showed it to George Stebbins, who set it to music in 1882 during a revival in India. In 1881, Longstaff's wife died, and he died in Sunderland, England. Now, that a lot of the backgrounds of these old, beautiful hymns that go on, there's a story behind them. And that story right there, take time to be holy. You know, your Christian life begins when you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you. I'm sorry for my sin. And I believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Lord, by faith, by your grace, I receive you. And I tell you, and he does it. It happens. A miracle happens immediately. Mm-hmm. But as you well know, both of you and in our listening family, you know too, that's just where it all starts. Now, Joe, did you instantly grow up as a Christian to be the where you are right now, or did it take time?
I'm still growing and learning, as Ronnie Fuller used to say.
Yeah.
It takes time.
It takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah. You don't start off at maturity. You grow into it.
Yeah, it takes time. And to grow in your convictions, let me give you one that I read about just this, and it's called, well, first of all, I want to talk to you about living a holy life. You must live a convicted life. Joe, read Ephesians. Be ready to read Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. And I'll make a comment. Franklin Graham had a story out that about a pastor, a Southern Baptist pastor that lost his job at a library in Louisiana. I forget the name of the little town. And he was working there, and because he did not, as his tent making job, and because he did not use the correct pronoun to suit someone that's a transgender, he was fired. And so he lost his job. So when we get back from Pen from the Heart, we're going to hear from Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. And we're going to talk about being holy takes conviction and not just going along with the rest of the crowd. Now, you think about that. And right now, I can see visually, Joe, that Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First has his finger ready to cut me off.
I sure do. So,
no, he's cutting him. He doesn't have his finger on your knob.
Not yet.
No, he doesn't.
But
he will.
But I will.
He will. He's got it on your pot and my pot. Or, I mean, his pot and my pot.
Yeah.
And then
he's
going to click you off.
Yeah,
just like that.
So Brian?
Yes, sir.
I want you to go ahead so that our listening family can hear this beautiful letter, our letters, okay?
Okay.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Katie's, "The programming and songs really minister to me. I'm thankful to donate for the ongoing work of the Lord." From a Clarksville listener, "Thank you for all you do to serve Christ our Lord. I hope you get all the funding during the summer that you need to continue." From Hopkinsville, "We appreciate each of you and your faithfulness." And from Russellville, "Keep up the good work."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Beautiful morning so far, but it's going to be a warm 105 heat index.
Ooh.
It's going to be hot, Ken.
What did you say?
I said 105. No. It's going to melt your makeup.
Well, there goes that chance of snow that we talked about.
Yeah, I've been wearing this men makeup so I'd look good on the radio.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Well, good morning. You're listening to Front Porch with the two locals there, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First and Joe Barner. Brother Dave Tucker is normally on with you, as you well know, but he is not doing well today. So they called up at random, dialed a number, and they got me. I don't know how that happened, and here I am on the radio.
Well, I mean,
that's
amazing. When you're the manager, you know, you just have to come up with stuff, you know. So
listen, speaking of coming up with something, last week at this time we had what was on Cuba Needs Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we're very thankful for those who gave and those who really believe in the mission to reach out to Cuba through Shine 800 AM on the island of Bonaire. But quite honestly, historically, it was lower than the very first one we did 11 years ago financially. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't know. But I do know that I was in a conference later on in Spring Hill, Tennessee, with different ones in Christian radio around the area. Mm-hmm. With Vader, I think's how they say it. But anyway, that part went very well. But what I'm getting to, it's not too late to give. In fact, I encourage you to. because we have an opportunity with Christian Radio on the island of Bonaire with a 450,000-watt AM station to reach Cuba in the evenings. We heard some terrific testimonies that updated that some of them had been recorded for a while and others that Andrew produced for us that I actually recorded while I was in Cuba. And just telling how much and how meaningful Shine 800 AM is to their lives. So help fund that. Would you? Amen. You can go online to missionary.radio, missionary.radio. Click on the little picture. It says Cuba needs Jesus. Right there, take you to the giving page for TWR. Or you can call them anytime. Not us. Call them. 888-988-5656. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that you will. And I'm thankful for those who did so. Now, earlier I was talking about take time to be holy, and I'll not run back down the same path, but just to catch you up, using the great old hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, we read 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, and I'm talking about convictions now, and I'd ask Joe to look up Ephesians 4, 22 through 24.
Whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, and he's referring to Tychicus, in the previous verse, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Yeah. Now, the reason I bring that up.
Excuse me, I was in the wrong chapter, Ken.
It's Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, we're in 5 there, Joe.
I was actually in 6. Can I have a do-over? Okay. May I have a do-over, please?
Well, yeah, that's your mulligan shot, okay?
Okay.
So, go for it.
That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Yes, because right there is where I would draw from the word convictions. Notice that you put off the way you used to live, that old person, but then you put on the new, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is a daily process on the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit through conviction. And you put on the new man, which created in righteousness and it says not false holiness, true holiness. Convictions are standards that are set for us out of the Word of God. And you and I must establish our convictions through God's Word by the Holy Spirit. Someone put it this way. A belief is what you hold. A conviction is what holds you. Let me say that again in case you missed that. I know that was so profound, you almost wrecked, didn't you? It says, a belief is what you hold. A conviction is what holds you. Now, I mentioned a story, and while we were listening to that great song by Beth Luna, that Franklin Graham had it out yesterday, actually, and about firing someone for pronouns. Brother Luke Ash worked at the Baton Rouge Public Library, and he also serves as pastor at a local church. He was fired from the library after he was told to stop referring to another employee as she, because they preferred to be called he. Luke told the media that referring to individuals by false pronouns violates his faith because it causes him to lie, and he said he's not going to lie. And there's a story about that. If you want to look it up, churchleaders.com, you can find the story. I did read it, and I will tell you that he is a Southern Baptist bivocational pastor. But I say, thank God bless him for taking such a stand.
Amen.
And so let me ask you, is that a conviction or is that just a belief? What do you think there, brothers? Are you there?
You stumped us. I would say both, but.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, yeah.
Well, I'll say, he believes that, but it's that past belief to a conviction. It's based on a standard from God's Word. He says, why should I lie and tell you in your make-believe mentally ill world that you are something that you're not? That's what basically said in the article.
Yeah.
And he's not trying to be rude or crude, but somebody to lose their jobs over that. Now, there's a lot of other issues you could put in there, and you've just named them. But we're called on as Christians to take stands, and a lot of times we won't do that. And so it's mm-hmm. just a belief at that point, brothers.
That's true.
A conviction is something you do. Mm-hmm. I can believe a lot of things. We practice what we believe. All the rest is just religious thought, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to move, and if we take time to spend with the Lord, we're going to come up with rock solid convictions. Now, there may be those that would disagree with that. That's quite all right. But I would have difficulty calling someone a girl, and they're obviously a biological male. Mm-hmm. And that is an issue that's being dealt with all across our land right now.
Yes.
And I tell you, we as Christians need to take a strong conviction on that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, most definitely.
Yes.
Now, so taking time to be holy will lead to convictions. Also, taking time to be holy will lead to a commitment. A conviction is not truly a conviction unless it includes a commitment to live by. You think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I can believe a lot of things. I believe you shouldn't lie. But if lying, of course, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Last time I remember, best I remember, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's not a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we'll tell little lies in order to make somebody feel a little better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when the truth is, we should be living to a commitment to tell the truth.
That's right.
So a conviction is not truly a conviction until it includes a commitment to live by. Being holy means takes a commitment to the following. First of all, to the Lord. To the Lord. Our strongest commitment must be. And those that think that once you get saved, then you can sit down till you get your ticket punched to get out of heaven, somehow have missed reading the Bible.
True.
Because we're supposed to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is not even a Christian life at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to be committed. And a conviction leads to commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it leads to reading His Word, just that old song that I mentioned a few moments ago. If we're not into His Word, His Word in us, you're not going to have any commitment. It's going to be all over the place.
Right.
Well, in my book, you ever heard that one?
Oh,
well,
yes.
Well, in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last I heard, your book's not the Bible.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And another thing is obeying Him.
Mm-hmm.
Obeying Him. You're not going to have true freedom in Christ until you've learned to obey.
All right.
And I'm going to say this. I certainly want to make friends, but this is a conviction of mine. I'm going to share it. Those that say that they can live a Christian life and never be a part of a local church or part of an assembly of some sort, I don't believe you really have a conviction in your life as a Christian, because we need to line up and be identified with a local church, expressing mm-hmm. our faith
yes.
and being a part of the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
So, brothers, I believe at this point that I'm going to depart from you, be workers of lovely stuff.
Well, we appreciate you being part of the front porch this morning, Ken.
Well, you wouldn't let me get close to you. You made me do it remotely.
Well, I mean,
I don't understand that.
I don't believe you'd have got here that fast.
No. And I was my trip, I have to go to Eddyville first this morning,
yeah.
then to Hopkinsville.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see me on the road, wave at me, all right?
All right.
it'll be that white flash going by you, the Ford F-150.
Mm-hmm.
See you later on, brother.
See you, brother.
See you later, but don't go blind. Okay.
All right. Care. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio. Johnny, not long ago, we invited your social media followers to post their questions to you. I know you love opening your heart to our listeners.
I do.
And so I picked out a few questions for today. This first one is from Pedro, and he asks you, how does your disability get in the way of loving people, and how do you overcome it?
Oh, Pedro, my disability doesn't get in the way. It provides a great opportunity to care about others, rather than just sitting there and waiting for them to make the first move. It's like 1 Peter chapter 4, where it says, quote, "You should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." And Pedro, my gift is exhortation. Although I'm a quadriplegic, I can serve others by asking about their interests rather than waiting for them to say something to me. And that may never happen. Or I take the initiative and try to be polite. I always say thank you. I put the focus on them rather than me. And so I show the love of Jesus to them by being respectful of their time, or not grumbling, being grateful, or cheering them on, or praying for their families, and showing a real sincere concern for them. So I guess I just kind of turn the tables. I let my disability be the reason for reaching out.
That's so great, Johnny. And I have watched you do this, and I've learned that we can all do it, can't we?
Absolutely.
Well, okay, great. Now next, Nancy's asking, do you have a question for the Lord when you see him face to face?
Oh, what a great question. Wow. No one's ever asked me that. I think I would like to ask, Jesus, when you were on the cross, suffering and in agony, what exactly sustained you? I mean, I know it was the Holy Spirit, but I would want to ask Jesus if he held on to certain scriptures for strength. And if so, what were they? I want to know. I realize the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. But what was that joy? Was it all the people like me that Jesus was saving that day? If you would tell me, Jesus, please tell us, what exactly was going through your mind? I just want to know what he was thinking about on the cross and what sustained him.
Okay, here's another question. This one is from Susie. And she asks, Johnny, how do you keep your thoughts from getting stuck in discouragement?
Oh, Susie, you need to know that discouragement is one of the sharpest and most powerful instruments in the devil's toolbox. And so, the minute I sense my mood is shifting, I know Satan is up to no good. I mean, that guy will do anything he can to make all of us ineffective for Christ. It's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we must, got that word must, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And that's what I do, Susie. I start recounting things that are true and honorable and right and pure and praiseworthy, like it says in Philippians 4. I start thanking God for big things, little things, everything. It's important because I know how quickly discouragement can morph into depression. And I just cannot, I will not let that happen. I have to, I must, by the power of God, take charge of my thoughts, take responsibility.
Oh, I sure know what you mean, Johnny. Oh, that is such a great word. I just wish we had more time because this is so helpful to me and all our listeners. I think we should make this a regular exercise once a month. What do you think, Johnny?
Let's do it. And I'd love to have your question. Just go to johnnyradio.org.
The rest of the time on the front porch is up to us this morning, Brian.
Up to us?
Okay. And so I went to my little folder of some articles that I've downloaded.
Okay.
And I found one from Philip DeCourcy. Talks about going back to school.
Okay.
It'll be here before long, the return to school.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I know your girls are going to Bible school this week.
This week, yes.
And a lot of times that means that going back to school is just around the corner. Counting down the days, or are they counting down the days when
I'm counting
we
down
get
the
to
days.
Go to school? Okay.
I'm counting down the days when they go back. No, I'm just messing. And, you know, I love my girls and everything, but and I joke with them all the time. Daddy, you ready for us to go back to school? I said, I sure am.
Well, this is from Philip DeCourcy, who is the speaker on Know the Truth at 2:30 each weekday afternoon here on Missionary Radio. And so he says, a mother was waiting for a little girl to get off the bus after her first day at school. Mm-hmm. And when she got off the bus, the mother asked her, what did you learn today? The little girl replied, well, nothing, I guess. The teacher said I have to come back tomorrow.
That's pretty good.
Life has a way of bringing us all back again and again to the reality of our own ignorance. They say that ignorance is bliss, but it is also a fact. There is so much about ourselves we have yet to discover, so much about the world in which we live we have yet to explore, and there is so much about the faith we profess that we have yet to grasp. Mm-hmm. As Ken was talking, we don't start out
That's
mature.
Right. That's right.
We grow in our faith over mm-hmm. the years as mm-hmm. the Lord teaches us day by day. And Philip DeCourcy continues, one of the ironies and irritations of life is that the more we know about the less we know.
Okay.
It's been commonly said that a wiser a man becomes, the more ignorant he knows himself to be. Paul acknowledges this struggle in his first letter to the Corinthians. And there he cites the fact that we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror and that our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Now, while that's one of the burdens of living in a fallen world this side of heaven, we often fail to look past the handicap and consider the blessing of not knowing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a blessing?
Mm-hmm.
He says it is. There are upsides to only knowing in part. Firstly, it is good that we do not know at all, for it keeps us humble. Knowledge has a way of making us proud. We think we are better than others because we know more than others. Knowing that we know in part should make us easy to live with and keep us from acting like we are God. Mm-hmm. It frees us up not to have an opinion on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it is good that we do not know it all, for it causes us to take life one day at a time. Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of truth in that old song, One Day at a Time.
Yep.
Imagine God showed you the future, all that's going to happen in the next 5 years. It would be overwhelming and discombobulating is the mm-hmm. word he uses.
That's a big word.
Yeah. Not knowing at all, however, helps us live life because it allows us to live retail, not wholesale. And thirdly, it is good that we do not know it all, for it makes us kinder toward mm-hmm. others. Not knowing the whole story of a person's life should make us very slow to judge another's actions. Boy, we're prone to do that, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
We only see a momentary snapshot. Not knowing it all should cause us to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing it all should caution us when tempted to give glib answers to life's perplexing problems.
Mm-hmm.
And fourthly, it is good that we do not know it all, for it presses us to trust the one who does know all things. But we know, despite our ignorance, that God unerringly and unswervingly works all things together for our good. Well, while I'm reading from Philip DeCourcy, let me share another reading that he shared. He said, just recently I came across a rather strange website called deathclock.com.
That's an interesting
Doesn't
name.
Doesn't sound like something that I would want to visit.
No, I don't believe so.
But he said, on this site, I was asked to answer a few questions regarding my date of birth, mood, and body mass index. After entering the data and clicking a button, a calculation was made as to the projected day of my death, with a countdown clock immediately beginning to count down the minutes and seconds. According to the website, Philip DeCourcy said, I am set to expire on Sunday, July 9th, 2034. He said, make sure you are in church for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You can even download the death clock at deathclock.com for your computer and watch it constantly count down the seconds you have left to live.
Mm.
While this all sounds terribly morbid and morose, it does. There is, on second thought, some merit to the idea of coming face-to-face with the reality of our shrinking lives. Thinking about one's death can actually have a redeeming quality to it. In fact, King Solomon says that it is better to spend your time at a funeral than at a festival. And a wise person thinks much about death. There's something rather sobering and salutary about contemplating one's own demise. The Bible is clear about giving thought to the end of life and how that can help us make a true beginning in life. Mm-hmm. Because whatever a man would wish to do on his last day, he ought to seek to do every day.
Amen.
Well, that's profound. Whatever a man would wish to do on his last day, he ought to seek to do every day. Meditating upon death is a valuable act on a number of fronts. Firstly, meditating upon death produces a zest for life. Death teaches us to seize the day. We should not be taken up with the fear of death, but with the fear that we have not truly lived. Mm-hmm. Secondly, meditating upon death produces humility. The thought of death has a way of shrinking us down to size and reminding us that God alone is eternal. Thirdly, meditating upon death repenting upon death produces repentance. When Jonah came to the city of Nineveh and cried, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown," the whole city repented in sackcloth and ashes. Death brings a meeting with God in judgment, and therefore the thought of death should light a fire beneath our repentance, making it a burning desire of the first order. And fourthly and finally, meditating upon death produces a godly contentment. In the midst of his losses and crosses, Job is reminded, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there." Death strips us of all things material and forces us to turn aside from the insatiable desire to accumulate things of no lasting value and to treasure Christ. As they say, you can't take it with you.
That's right.
And as these benefits show, living with dying is actually a good way to live, remembering that the Lord knows the days that we have left in this life.
Amen.
Well, it's a good time to say adieu on this